Chapter 1. Royals. One of the great tricks the British royals have managed to pull off is to have convinced everybody of their own irrelevance. They behave much like any big company, downplaying their influence, externalising their expenses, meeting with dictators, watching themselves sexually savaging hypnotised victims in the mirrored aviators of their bodyguards, reporting back to superiors in other dimensions who appear to them suddenly in famous paintings. Bad news causing their enraged overlord's face to seethe like a nest of startled snakes. What's called pageantry and tradition, public events that only serve to highlight the relative charm of North Korea and the buying up of any golden sheds / tennis rackets that got missed by Michael Jackson, is just misdirection. It's a simple misdirection employed by a category of human being pitied by even the most denigrated monster of show business, the stage magician. And that's all the royal family are. Entertainers who've enjoyed the ultimate success by the most tried and tested route. Aiming low. Kate's pregnancy really brought the nation together. It was no longer just me thinking about her vagina 24/7. And call me old-fashioned, but I thought it was nice to see a pregnancy announced. For most women in this country, you only know they're with child because they've switched to menthol fags. Still, a lot of pressure for William. I suppose he's just hoping that he can be as good a father as his nanny was. The birth was announced by putting a notice on headed notepaper on a wooden easel at the gates of Buckingham Palace. It's a royal equivalent of sticking a congratulations bedsheet on a roundabout. The law was changed because it was a historical anomaly that prevents the eldest child of the monarch from becoming the head of state simply because of their gender. Unlike the historical anomaly that makes someone the head of state simply because they are born into a particular family.